Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We're joined by Cleveland Browns Daily's own Matt Wilhelm.
Well,
Matt,
if it isn't Monfrere.
How are you guys? Good to be here.
You okay? You a little under the weather?
I'm doing well.
I hear your voice. You're having a
little bit. It's tough. You know what? I talk on the radio for a living.
Yeah, that's good. You know, neither one of us seem to have that problem. Just you by yourself.
No, he's just getting away. He's getting broken in.
All right. In this week's position spotlight, we are breaking down the wide receiving core. And you guys had a chance this week to talk a little bit about the wide receivers on the show. And Cleveland Browns Daily is where we all heard it. Taylor Gabriel. Here's what he had to say about the wideouts.
I mean, they're all coaches, man. Just a heartline, just something as simple as route running. He's a technical route runner, and I can always just steal something from him. After every play, we're always talking about what could have been better with this release, that release. And when it comes to Dwayne Bowe, he's a dog, man. And just little things as late hands when you're coming up for the ball. Just something as simple as that. I'm just picking their brains with I mean, they have plenty of experience in the NFL, so anything I can get from them guys, I want to get.
All right, when you dig into the wide receivers, I look back to the beginning of last year where nationally people were saying, who's going to catch the ball for the Browns? Now I look at this team and I look at the free agents they picked up in the offseason. I feel good about the wide receivers.
You definitely have to. It's very clear who our playmakers are. We went out, sought out, and got Brian Hartline, got Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City. You figure you can add Andrew Hawkins back to his number three inside slot receiver. And the guy we just heard from, Taylor Gabriel, what we've seen all OTAs and minicamp from him has been highly impressive. No DB can cover him, and he's going to add that chunk yardage aspect to this offense that allows you to throw the football down the field.
Yeah, Taylor Gabriel last year, 17.1 yards a catch, third best in the NFL. He has been the best wide receiver so far for the Browns. The DBs, Coach Pettine has said it. I've heard other DB coaches talk about it. They don't like going against him because he creates so much separation. He can make you look bad on tape. He's been fantastic. You draft Vince Maley out of Washington State at 106 catches last year, six games over 100 yards. Physically very impressive. We had that thumb surgery, so we haven't seen him catch the ball. We will in training camp. But the other guy who's really stood out to me is Rodney Smith.
Yes.
6'5", different body than any of the other receivers on this roster. Has made some big plays, high-pointing the football. He's done well. But ultimately, it's going to come down to Rodney Smith, Travis Benjamin, who's been here, been a mainstay. Can he do enough in the return game to justify his spot? And Marlon Moore, a special teams ace. And when you're a team that's going to play a lot of defense and you bring in Andy Lee, who can boom the ball, you need to have good gunners. Marlon Moore and Batty were as good as any two gunners in the NFL last year.
Right, let's go back to this, though. Dwayne Bowe. I mean, how was he? This is where you set the stage. When you're a veteran that's coming into a new team, this is where you really make your mark, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you heard Taylor Gabriel talk about what he's learning from some of those veteran, savvy guys that have played in this league, you know, five-plus years, Hartline and Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe's, you're not going to see that, you know, 80 catch, 1,000-plus yard season like you've seen in Kansas City. But I think 50 catches, 750 yards, a big target in the red zone. And Nathan and I talk about all the time the role that Miles Austin kind of played for this football team. You know, we called him Money Miles for a reason because all he did was convert first down after first down. I think Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline, as vets, will do that for this offense.
Don't you think, though, that Bowe only having one touchdown last year, that's got to be such inspiration for him to get back in the end zone more than once this year?
He didn't even have a touchdown last year. The Chiefs didn't throw a single touchdown to a wide receiver. He is giddy to get into the end zone, and that's what he's going to be, exactly as you said, a rich man's Miles Austin. Move the chains, get it done in the red zone. We talked about Taylor Gabriel getting separation. Dwayne Bowe's going to catch a lot of passes. He's not going to be open on very many of them. He knows how to use his body and high point the football and make catches even when he's covered.
All right, just your experience with minicamp and how important it is and what it means for this team when you move into a season, especially because, I mean, you played on teams with veterans, teams that knew how to win. What has to be established in a minicamp before you have 6 weeks off?
It's the refinement that happens in minicamp. As Andrew Gribble talked about earlier, the fact that there was no installation going on in this 3 days. It was taking everything they had learned in those nine, packing it into 3 days, and seeing it executed at an extremely high level. The tempo was cranked up. There was more pressure. Of course, the music's bumping out there. And as we saw, as you guys talked about earlier as well, Josh McCown stood up as a leader, made the throws, and the offense finally took that one huge step.
Yeah.
They seemed to be a step behind in OTAs. They took a big step forward in this minicamp.
How much important is that for their confidence when they come back and get into training camp?
Oh, it's huge. And I'm sure these guys will have exchanged numbers. They'll cross-reference their notes as they watch film for upcoming opponents and just look to build continuity as they get into training camp. They're going to know who they're rooming with to know exactly what they're going to go into so that the bond is built by the time September gets here.
Matt, what's the most important part for a player who's got to go off for 6 weeks and walk away from this for a little bit? What do you say to a guy? Just, hey, you got to keep it clean, go on vacation. I mean, I worry about that because you got guys that are conditioned,
sure,
they're into the playbook, and they're ready to go.
We talked about it today on Cleveland Browns Daily. Have a plan. The veterans on this team, the leaders on this team want to win. Joe Thomas wants to go to the playoffs. Alex Mack you know, it's his career here in Cleveland might depend on the success of this football team. So they're setting a template of what your next 30 to 35 days are going to look like. It's going to, of course, include some downtime with your family, maybe a little bit of travel, not too much. Stay out of the clubs, stay out of the bars, but get to work in the morning, get in that playbook. And as I said, communication between teammates via FaceTime, texting, calling, cross-referencing notes on what they're seeing as they dive in just gets you to know as a leader on this team and as a coach that their head is wrapped around football and consuming them even when they're away from the building.
And that's what you always hear for champions. They always say, well, you know what? Even when we're off, we're still talking.
We are.
Trying to figure this out months ago during the summer. Matt, thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it. We will be right back with more Dog Pound Report after this.
When we return, check out who visited the team in Berea with our social post of the week.